Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
Well, hey, we are back. I want to welcome you who are listening to this end of the summer Roundtable Podcast. My name is Norm Funk. I am the lead pastor of Westside Church. We spent the last couple of months on holidays, but we are now back. Joining me at the table, as per usual, unless there's someone really famous joining us, is James Bonney. James Bonney is the campus pastor of the North Shore, Westside North Shore. He is an elder at Westside. James, how are you? Good to see you.
Yes, doing great. Good to be back.
We'll get to you in a sec, but I also want to welcome Matt Menzel. Matt Menzel is a pastor and elder at Westside as well, here in the downtown core. He does great ministry in terms of preaching and teaching, also gives oversight to our community group ministry and classes and so forth. Matt, good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be seen.
Guys, we want to talk about the fall. We're going to spend some time talking about ministry, a lot of things starting up. But before we do that, maybe let's just double back. I want to hear about your summers personally. I know for you especially, James, big addition to your family, but also ministry in the summer. How was the summer? All of that kind of stuff. So, how was it? How you doing?
Yeah, What's new? Want me to start? I'll start. We had baby number four. Woo! Anyone? Come on, guys.
Name?
That's great. Talia.
No,
Talia.
That is a... Talia. I feel like we've said our congratulations already.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
I know for people listening, it's new.
I kind of just want more, you know, hugs maybe later. But Talia Ruth, born at home, August 10th on our vacation. I think she was like 4 days late. And contractions started 10 a.m. Baby was born 5:30. Went to Boston Pizza, not like all of us, but just me.
Got
some pizza, you know, like afterwards. Oh yeah, it was awesome. It was like baby. It was like perfect timing. Dinner, new baby.
After my son Micah was born, 2 hours after that, I took a final in a seminary class.
That's 2 hours more courageous after than Boston Pizza. That was good. Yeah. No, it was an incredible experience. Really proud of my wife. The coolest thing, just, you know, I'll share.
No, don't share the home birth. It was gross.
There was a moment where, like, so Nikki gives birth water. No, I got to share this. So she's giving birth in water.
We have hospitals, you know.
Yeah. And then...
And the three people that listen to this podcast are going to turn this off.
I'm
going to
get
a little gross.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so there's one moment where all of a sudden she's like, I can feel burning, and everyone looks in and all you can see is water and a head coming out. No, seriously. And then you have to wait, and it's the cool experience because
does Nikki want you to share this?
We haven't really talked about that.
All right,
but it was incredible. Yeah, it was good.
Let's edit that out.
But had a great baby. Really thankful. Number four. But good summer as a family. Great summer as ministry. We had four gatherings outdoors. So
where do you do that? Let people know where you do that.
Yeah, we do that. So we have a shipyard market. It's kind of the bottom of the quay on Lonsdale and North Van. It's where they do the Friday night market. It's big kind of outdoor theater. They build their little stage, so they have concerts each Friday. And so about 2 years ago, we thought, what if we brought the church to the city in a sense? And we pitched it. It was incredible.
How does the public react to that?
You know what? Usually at first it was a lot of sound complaints, but we've seen most visitors on those Sunday mornings. The coolest one was Tap and Barrel just opened their restaurant, opened their patio at 10 a.m. right when we started. This was our last outdoor gathering. For brunch.
That's great.
And so it was cool. We got to interact. I got to preach the gospel to about 40, 50 on the patio,
right,
as well as our people. And it was just, I think it creates an excitement and a mission that we're making Jesus known outside in our city. So that was really encouraging
for
us.
You got rained out once?
Twice.
So you just had two official that worked?
Yeah, two outside, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
What else in the summer? Anything else? You got a little bit of a break, or is it all baby related, so you didn't really get a rest?
Basically baby related, but it was nice. We had 1 week where we were off and hang out with the kids, hang out at the bike park, all that good stuff.
Now we'll come back to your fall, because you're launching in fall, the new ministry year, and lots of stuff to let people know about. But before we hit that and talk about our fall, Matt,
yeah,
summer,
yeah,
Tell me about the summer. You preached a lot. You didn't take a break in the summer. In June, you went away. You've been around the whole time.
Yeah, it was a great summer. It was a ministry. As far as ministry goes, it was awesome, and good things happened in the summer. Good stuff with all of our leaders, and I feel like people got a good break. But also, you know, we started that new I Am series, which seemed to be really, really good, and carried us well through those few weeks there. It was a great summer. Personal side was a difficult summer. We had we had some losses in the family, actually a couple. And it was just really hard. There was a real dichotomy between a real sweet ministry season and a real hard personal season. So that was kind of summer for me.
The I Am series that we began, you're doing it on the North Shore, obviously. That was your instigation. meaning you came up with that series, thought it'd be a good series. Why? Yeah, just kind of what led to that?
Yeah, well, I think what led to that was just trying to, you know, you're always trying to think through, especially in the summertime, you're trying to find kind of things that work as one-offs, a lot of people out of town, we got a lot of visitors, you know, we had people from all over the world at Westside this summer, it was really interesting, but you're trying to find things that work on their own, but also things that you can build on and really bring the culture into. So the topic of Jesus and who Jesus is a massive one for us culturally. So I just saw a lot of work that we could do there, and we unpack the offense of Jesus really, and let Christians feel that. I don't think that we as Christians often do enough with the offensiveness of the gospel and the offensiveness of Jesus' claims. And so I really wanted us to feel that, and then to understand how our culture is really still asking the very same questions that Jesus came to answer, and the answer was who he was. So that's why I went to John. You know, the Gospel of John obviously does a great job. He's the most theological, and when he unpacks who Jesus is, his character and nature, and so he's got a whole bunch of I Am statements in there. And so we've been looking at six of them. We've got two more to do still, and so that's kind of what led to it.
That's great. Yeah. No, it's great. Good to be back this last Sunday, but I heard really good things about the three previous. I listened to the messages they gave, and they were solid. And I know you're doing it on the North Shore. How's it going, by the way, on the North Shore in regards to that?
Great vibe.
Well?
I think the people, you know, it's encouraging when you're a Christian and you're trying to make Jesus known in your workplace and in your city, and you can kind of just be the mailman, because Jesus, his claims stand for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of good feedback. Like, I could teach that. I could just repeat what I could just be the mailman of who Jesus says he is. So our people are responding because they feel more equipped with just scripture too, where to go, language. Mm-hmm. So it's a great series. How was your summer, though? We got to hear about you.
Good. Yeah, I took 4 weeks off, that's a great luxury. I know, a lot of people listening go, man, 4 weeks off, I don't get that type of thing, and I don't take it for granted. I'm very, very thankful to the elders and, you know, the way things work that allows me to do that. So, yeah, the way I sort of do my life is I take very little time off from September through early July. I get a little bit of time, usually just right after Easter or somewhere around there for a week or so. But went away, just stayed here local in terms of BC and had a great time just with family up on the lake. Some friends of ours let us use their very nice cabin on the lake up at the Shuswap, and it was good. It was good rest. But then you come back, man, we had an elders retreat, we got an all-day staff day, we're getting geared up for the fall. But man, amazing, because it's been 10 years. We are celebrating officially 10 years this September in 2005 is when we launched, so another 10 years. But I can say, as excited about ministry going forward, I think it's a new season of ministry. We are a different ministry than we were the first 10 years, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. Just we're 10 years older, we're larger, we're downtown, we have a building that's ours, but we're still committed to the same mission. We're still committed to the same mission endeavors, meaning our local missions projects in terms of the planting of churches and campuses. And it's always our desire to do that. It is God who's in charge, and we do not want to do anything before God leads us, but we are still committed to that, and I pray we'll never stop being committed to that. But So everything we do in terms of, you know, from year to year to year serves that, right? Because we do believe that it's the best long-term strategy for the gospel to be made known in the city, and the best long-term strategy, and it is God's strategy in terms of making disciples. Mm-hmm. It's through the church the manifold wisdom of God is made known, and the church is to be the pillar and the buttress of truth. So we're committed to that. In addition to all the other things that are a part of that. So we're going to the fall. So thank you. I had a great summer, but I'm excited for this next decade, if God so allows. So the fall, James, tell us what's going on the North Shore, people listening, all that kind of stuff. I know we're very much part and parcel together. We do very similar things because we fall under the same ministry banner. But just specifically, what's going on the North Shore?
Yeah, well, we're launching same Sunday, September 13th. Looking forward to that. So we're going into year 4 for our campus, we're going to celebrate 10 years because we're one church. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that. A lot of new people over the summer, a lot of new families. So we're just excited about just seeing, you know, how God's going to be leading in community groups. We're launching 2 new groups on the North Shore.
Right.
Just reaching out. We're going to launch a group in Burnaby. Lots of people coming from there now. Mm-hmm. So really great.
Where in Burnaby are they coming from?
North Burnaby.
North Burnaby. Yeah. So just right across
just
the bridge.
Right across there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... and then we have a few classes planned, looking forward to how to study the Bible, which we'll be launching out on both campuses. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. But that's kind of our one class, and we're just trying to do those Sunday, our gathering and our scattering really well this year. And that's North Shore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give us a snapshot, Matt, of this side of the bridge.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about all over the place for both of our campuses. But downtown, we're really excited about this new ministry year. Obviously, you just mentioned the Reading and Applying the Bible class that we're pumped to have and looking forward to that. Got a lot of stuff with community group ministry over here as well. God's been really gracious to us in the raising up of leaders. That's been really exciting. We've got through our apprenticeship program, which is leadership is obviously very important in Westside, and we put a very high value on our leaders. Not just anybody can stand up and say, "Hey, I'm a community group leader," and come to my house. It doesn't work that way. Community group leaders are only raised up by existing community group leaders, and so we have an apprenticeship process that they go through, which can last anywhere from, you know, 6 months to a couple years in some cases, and not everybody who goes in that apprenticeship process actually comes out as a leader, but those who do, and we had 20% growth in our leaders through the apprenticeship this last year.
That's awesome.
which is really exciting. That's a sign of God's spirit. It's a sign of our people really owning that, because it's not you know, we're not here as paid staff kind of making all that stuff happen. It's the people on the ground that are doing that. We're just trying to serve them. So, yeah, really excited about community groups. We're rolling out this new collective idea. We've always had a coaching model in place for our leaders, but we're moving into a collective coaching. So it's really peer coaching. We're really excited about that.
How does that work?
So essentially, we're breaking out all of our community groups based on geographical location. So we've got anywhere from 6 to 10 groups in any given area.
Right.
Basically, those groups are going to, the leaders and apprentices in those groups are going to form a collective. That's a place where prayer requests are shared, where people are known, where they can do life together, and where they can get practical help, troubleshooting advice, all that kind of stuff from people doing ministry right alongside with them. We've always had coaches. So this last couple of years, we've had 12 to 13 coaches who've been coaching our leaders, but there's a lot of limitations to that. The most important to me is that, you know, the most important limitation of that we wanted to change was, well, there's a several, but one of them is just that we want to draw on the experience and the wisdom of the people here doing ministry, our community group leaders. Mm-hmm. They have the most to offer the community group leaders around them.
Right.
So we want to give them a platform, not only of support, but also a place to share their wisdom and their insight and what they're learning. So really excited about that. I feel like it's going to be a sweet season moving ahead.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, if anybody's listening to this and trying to, let me put it this way, wondering sort of how does this ministry run? It runs very similarly to how it's been run, you know, the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that is we gather on Sundays for time in the Word where we worship in spirit and truth. We teach the Word and we observe the Word through the communion meal and through the bread and the wine. We are a word-based ministry when we gather, and then we scatter. And we scatter with the word. I've talked about it much, where we are an Acts 8 model church in that sense, meaning that when we scatter with the word. And our scattering ministry primarily is our community group ministry, and then we call people to serve. And so that's kind of what we do. We gather, then we scatter in community groups, and then we call people to serve either in and through this ministry, or there might be a special thing that they're called for a time and a place to do that's not really affiliated, but they're the church, and they're doing church in terms of where they serve. And that's really, we have other things. We have things that we try to come alongside of them with, some classes, like you mentioned. We've always put on classes, baptism members, foundations. We have the How to Study the Bible class coming up. We've done a lot of different things, and we do conferences to help that. But that's essentially what we do. It's not rocket science, and I don't think it's meant to be. And then we pray much.
Yeah.
And we fast. I mean, we are having a Delve coming up, a Delve night on Thursday, September the 3rd, which is a day where we call the body of Westside to fast and pray and then come together and worship. Because we are just under shepherds, and we have a chief shepherd, and we want to posture ourselves in very, I think, specific ways, I think really important ways. In days like that where we say, you are in charge. We want to hear from you. We want you to bless. And so excited about this coming year. One of the things which leads into the, what I'd like to spend the rest of our time talking about, however long that takes, is the series, the new series that we are starting, not on the 13th. That'll be a standalone message just celebrating the 10 years. But on September 20th, we're launching an Exodus series where we're looking at Exodus chapters 1 to 15, then we'll stop. Whether we come back to Exodus somewhere in the future, time will tell, but we are going to be focusing our fall and our gatherings on Sunday on the book of Exodus. Now here's the question. I'll just so people know who are listening, I don't preload these questions, so I'm just putting the guys on the spot in a sense, but why Exodus? I know it's the Bible. We always give that, and we teach the Bible, and we believe it is all of God's Word. But specifically, why should we study the book of Exodus, this archaic story about Moses leading a bunch of Hebrews from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan? Why?
Oh, man, it's it is like the kind of, I would say, the Matthew of the Bible, in that you have this 400 years.
Wait, the Matthew is the men in the Bible, too.
So you what? No, like
the Matthew of the Old Testament.
Why? It's the Matthew of the Old Testament, because
Matthew is the Matthew of the Bible.
Matthew would be.
You guys, I was so excited just to like share.
When we teach Matthew, should we call Matthew the Exodus of the Bible?
So there's 400 years of just God's promise silent, and then you have this huge breaking in of a baby being born. You have salvation, you have like the holiness of God, you have a calling, you have a redeemer, you have a lamb, you have blood, you just have the gospel. And so I just think, what an incredible fall, just diving into.
So let me interrupt a little bit. I'm going to ask a bit of a loaded question, and either one of you can answer. So it sounds like what you are saying is it's more than just a story of history. It certainly is that. It's a story of history. The book of Exodus is a historical document. But what I hear you saying is it's more than that. There's something is more than us just coming to a book of history and teaching our people the history. I think history is important. I think we need to know our story. But it's more than that. Is that what I'm hearing say? It's a loaded question.
Oh, yeah. Matt, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the story of the Exodus is one that it plays so well, even just in, you know, in the individual Christian life, like in your personal Christian life, this story of being led out of slavery into freedom by that powerful hand of God, you know, like that's the story of the Christian life. We're led out of our enslavement to sin and our slavery to death, ultimately, and we're led into this new life, this freedom that we have in Jesus. And so it's that story, but even as a church, much wider than that. It's the continuing story of the Christian life as well. Mm-hmm. It's every moment. It's not just that initial, look, this is what you need to like the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. You need to come out of your, you know, slavery to sin. No, this is every moment of every day. Like the story of Exodus is the story of the Christian life. It's a story of trusting God over and above all that you can see. And, you know, it's, so I love this story. I'm really excited to preach it chapter by chapter. It's going to be great.
Yeah, the way I've said it and the way I've taught it and the way I refer to it, yeah, is exactly that. The story of the Exodus is our story. Mm-hmm, it's a story that really took place, but it is a story that foreshadows ours. It's a story that I mean, to paraphrase in a sense what Paul writes to the Galatians, it's a story we can take allegorically too. Mm-hmm. I know he talks about there with Sarah and Hagar, but this story is a type, it's a foreshadowing, just like what you talked about.
Yeah.
We are enslaved before coming to Jesus. Jesus rescues us. You go, and we popped off about the story of Matthew, but Jesus shows up on the scene and he begins a new Exodus, right? To a new promised land, a better promised land, and he's the perfect Israel, and he goes into the wilderness, and he, unlike the Israelites, he doesn't fail. So there's this beautiful story, but let's even whittle it down a little bit more. What are the things, so if a person is listening to this and going, okay, what can I expect? How is this story going to impact me personally? What are some of the big themes within you've hit some of them, but maybe let's just double back and hit them and go, this is where you can get excited and what you need to look forward to. And
I think the looking at the text, I think for me personally, and I can think for us as a church, what I'm most excited to is it gets your eyes off you. We're going to see the nature and character of God show up. He's going to show up. He's going to reveal his name. This is the first time we get to hear Yahweh. And so I think what's going to be super helpful here is he's kind of lift our eyes off ourselves and onto the nature and the character of who our God is for us, because then you have that beautiful moment where he just says, let me work for you. Like, you stay there and be silent. So I think there's going to be some moments of awe of this is who he is that I just can't wait.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to maybe just to add to that one point, it's just this, you know, sometimes in our culture, we run the risk oftentimes of whittling our faith down, or, you know, almost dumbing it down to a sense where it's just about us. And Exodus reminds us that that's actually not okay. It's not just that there's another option. We could make this faith more about God if we wanted to. No, but it's actually the only option. This is not about us. And so, for example, how do we deal with the plagues? You know, like in 2015 in Vancouver, like how are you supposed to deal with that? Like, God wipes out these people at the end. I mean, the firstborn son, like, how do you, and what we're seeing is that, and you know, Romans 9, it's obviously Paul speaks to that exactly, but God is, he loves us so much that the thing that concerns him most is his own name and the jealousy of God. Like, I think that's a jealousy strikes us as bad and as evil, all those things, and it's petty, but that's not the jealousy of God. The jealousy of God is motivated by his love for us, but his love for us means he wants to give us himself, not give us a whittled down version of who he is. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it's why we're ending it in chapter 15. Chapter 15 is the song of Moses. So the people are finally after the Passover, the original Passover, the horrific event. I mean, we talk about Passover, horrific event where Pharaoh finally says, okay, go, changes his mind, wants to destroy them. But they are led through. They're led through the sea, and what are they led to? They're led to worship. That God sets us free, brings freedom through the Passover of Jesus to worship.
Yeah.
And that is the greatest of gifts. So we talk about being led to the promised land. Yeah, that is the end of our story. We are led to the promised land, but in that in-between time, what is our call? What is our great gift? We live a life of worship. And that is the Christian life. Now, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifice. This is your spiritual form of worship. And that's what our lives are.
Yeah.
And that is the greatest gift that God can give his people, is to live a life of worship. When you consider, and you've already hit upon this, Matt, but maybe we can open it up a little bit more. Where in 2015, what will be the challenge? You talked about the individualism of our faith. We think about our faith as, you know, I am the center of this whole Christian story, mm-hmm. And that's to our detriment. But in terms of some of the challenges from Exodus, what will be some of those confrontations, mm-hmm. in addition to maybe some of the stuff you already have talked about?
Sure. There's probably a lot of them. One that comes to mind right away is just the fact that God leads his people out of their slavery before his people are even on board with that. And I think that's really interesting for us today. I think this idea that, you know, that this is not about the life that we choose for ourselves. You know, if you're a Christian, I'll speak to Christians first, but if you're a Christian, then that God is taking you somewhere. He's doing something. And you know, and the Israelites for a while are very passive in that. You know, they're trying to figure things out, and as obviously as the story continues, it gets even worse, right? As they're just all out rebelling against it. But I think today we need to be confronted with that. I think in the church today, we need to be confronted with the idea that God is doing something. And it is not primarily, as we've said before, it's not primarily about us, but we actually have to submit to God in it. Now, as doing that, you know, worshiping God is the greatest thing that any of us could ever be given. It's the greatest gift that any of us could have. It's where we become most fully alive and most fully human. But I think we need to recover what the Christian life is all about. And I think Exodus is going to walk us through that really well. For the people who aren't yet Christians, I think this is an offensive place. This mm-hmm. is an offensive book. This is not easy listening for them. This is like, you know, hearing the story, I mean, even on a surface level, you could be very offended by it. But then once we start unpacking the deeper meanings that we see allegorically in Exodus, which I think are biblically sound, mm-hmm. obviously, those are offensive too. The fact that God actually wants to, that we are, you know, we always talk about, you know, come as you are. That's true in a sense, but we're all broken and we need redemption. And so, so I think this message is one that we need both those who are Christ followers already and those who are not yet.
Mm-hmm. I think there'll be like a challenge too, just on, I definitely know like in our application, just the kind of idols that we're holding on to mm-hmm. sometimes are not the obvious ones. And I think we'll be pressed whether... who is it that we're worshiping? What mm-hmm. is it that we find our security? And if you look at some of those plagues, they're going to, I think, press into some areas in our lives where we don't necessarily think we're not worshiping God mm-hmm. in, and we'll see that we aren't. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to that, too.
I think the other aspects, there's the other element of what enslavement is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a question of, okay, I either choose to follow God or I can just kind of live my own life doing my own thing and everything's no, we're mm-hmm. either following God or we're enslaved to a ruler that wants us to make bricks without straw.
Yeah.
And demands the same amount even though he's not going to help us anymore. And it's that and what that represents, that bondage, that tyrannical ruler, what life is. And what it costs to get mm-hmm. out of that.
Yeah.
Nothing short of the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And also, and we're not going to continue on after Exodus 15, but even, I don't know if we'll touch upon it. I'm sure some of us will touch upon it at least at times in our messages, mm-hmm. but even the folly mm-hmm. of the redeemed people, the set free mm-hmm. people, of wanting to go back to Egypt and forgetting about what it was like. And it was much better there, and we mm-hmm. ate really great, and at least we had a fire, and we didn't, you know, ever go without thirst and forgetting. And so I think those people that make up a large part of our ministry that would say they are followers of Jesus, but really have eyes on a continual basis for Egypt, you know, and we see the grace of God in that. And that's where I think the rest of the story at some time coming back to it is so good. But really, really excited about it. We are embarking actually on a big year when it comes to the teaching ministry because we're doing the first 15 chapters of Exodus. And then starting January, we are diving into the book of Revelation 2, Ooh. Which we will hit. At a podcasts later on, but even now preparing as a preaching team and that will be an interesting time. But even if people are listening, just even in their own time of prayer, just being praying about that and this series and so on and so forth. So anything else, guys, before we put a bow on this?
Maybe just a few comments going back to community groups. If you haven't joined one, or well, I'll say two things. God's design on you, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to be doing life with others, mm-hmm. building one another up, mm-hmm. being known. And so this isn't, you'll find tons of community in this city. There's mm-hmm. community centers, there's mm-hmm. Facebook groups. You're not going to find a gospel-centered community like this, mm-hmm. where they're committed to pouring into your good, exhorting you, showing you blind spots. And so I just want to encourage you two things. Get into a community group. And if you're listening and you love Westside, please pray. Please pray for our community group mm-hmm. leaders. Mm-hmm. Pray for them in this coming year. They are the ones on the ground making disciples mm-hmm. In our everyday life. So
that's awesome. You have anything else?
Yeah, no, that was well said.
Yeah. Exciting fall. A lot of stuff we didn't even talk about. We hired a youth guy, youth director, Joseph Peterson. We announced that on Sunday. He's going to be joining us. He's actually coming from Florida, driving with his wife, and going to be hitting the ground here on the 1st. And he's going to provide leadership over and direction over Westside, both campuses, for youth from grades 7 to 12. I said 6 to 12 on Sunday, but 7 to 12. So excited about that. We got a women's retreat mm-hmm. coming up at Whistler with Jean Fleming in October. Mm-hmm. So just, man, we're now back at it. It's busy time, but I'm really looking forward mm-hmm. to it. And those that are listening, I hope you're praying and excited. If you want to find out any more information about Westside, either the North Shore campus or our downtown campus, wchurch.ca. You can find out everything on there about community groups. Can you sign up for community groups yet online?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you can go on there. If you have any, you know, need for information, you can email us office at wchurch.ca or call mm-hmm. us during the week. Normal office hours. So thanks for listening, and we'll be doing this again every 2 weeks. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.